Hey, this is Taylor Scadden, and you're listening to my Family History Podcast. When I was first introduced to the Family History Podcast project, I didn't really know how to go about it. I didn't really know how to dive into my own family's history. It was really cool listening to all these other people's history, but honestly, I don't have a lot of information on myself. And when we were learning about Linda Christensen's Where I'm From poems, that's kind of what sparked some ideas of where I could get some information. And I just thought it was really awesome reading her poetry for social justice when she says, "I invite students to write about their lives, about the worlds from which they come." I just thought that was interesting because I don't think people do that enough. I don't think people write about their lives and the worlds and their cultures enough. And it's really interesting once you find where you actually come from. My family and I are from a small town named Monroe, Washington, where everyone knows everyone in the valley. If you don't know where this is, you can usually find it if you're on your way to Stevens Pass, Leavenworth, or even Eastern Washington. Growing up, we lived in a small rambler and in a cul-de-sac where all the neighborhood kids would hang out on summer nights. Usually our other family members, like our grandparents, aunts, or uncles, lived under 30 minutes away from each other, so we have a very close, tight-knit family. But we don't have a very big family, which is not a problem, but it's very interesting when thinking about it that we don't really know our family members that live in other states or across the United States. In Christine Slater's Critical Family History article, there's a quote that says, "Critical autobiography, critical storytelling, and critical life history attend to connections between an individual life and its social and political context. This is just an approach to how we examine our personal lives and family experiences, and it's the beginning of research that becomes an incredible journey, actually." Christine Slater also talks about, in the same article, about European American identities, and like herself, grew up as a white American in a small all-white town in Southern Oregon, and how she asked her mother what her nationality was, and turns out she reeled off a list of national origins like German, Scottish, Irish, French, English, and a bit of Cherokee. And when I ask my parents what my nationality is, I don't get as clear of an answer. So my dad's dad, so my grandfather, is adopted and has a different last name. So his foster parents, I guess, his adopted parents, their last name is Scadden. So that's my last name, Scadden. So my bloodline technically isn't that. And so when you look up my last name, Scadden, it's the Scandinavian origin, which is pretty cool. And then I find out, wait, that's not actually what makes up who I am, and that my last name is actually supposed to be Robinson. And how much more white could you get with the last name Robinson? Robinson originates from England, which, okay, that's pretty cool. England, very typical of a white American in the United States of America, with their origins being from England. But I really liked in, I think it was in Beverly Tatum, about the Who Am I, when somewhere she talks about, and I'll find the quote, she talks about how sometimes where you're from, that doesn't make up what a family is. Family is not defined by your blood. Family is defined of what makes up your life and who you become as a person, which I think is really beautiful. When thinking about interviewing my parents, I wanted to be really careful about what I had them share, just because this is my take on my family history, not theirs, and I didn't want to have them go into deep parts of their life that they weren't comfortable sharing. And a lot of what my family has gone through is trauma, but I don't see it as airing dirty laundry. I just think of it as something we have all grown from and something we have experienced to make us grow into better human beings. And so part of the reason why we have a really small family, well, both of my parents grew up in divorced families, and I think that's why my parents have always vowed to stay together, because they never wanted my brother and I to grow up in a family that was separated like them. And then my mom lost her brother in a car accident in Monroe, actually, when she was in high school. And then my dad lost his brother to an avalanche in 1997, around the time I was born. So that's me losing two uncles and not having that family. So I think that's why we are so close with each other. My favorite topics that I love talking about in this class is multicultural education, because I don't think we talk about it enough. And it's only now that I'm in the education program at Western, that we're talking about multicultural education. I grew up in a family of teachers. My mom is a teacher, and my grandma is a teacher, and so on, my aunt. And they, both my grandma and my mom, started teaching in a Title I school out in Gold Bar. And if you don't know where that is, it is smaller than Monroe, and it's even farther out towards Eastern Washington or Leavenworth Index. Very small area. Honestly, if you pass the town, you probably wouldn't even know it's a town. but they worked out there, and a lot of the students that when I would come visit, or when I was in that school myself, my brother and I, a lot of our friends were low income. A lot of them were white, but I feel like it was more diverse than when I moved to a bigger school when I was older, just because the demographics, I'm not sure. But my mom was always really good about incorporating multicultural education. There's a quote that I read during the article called Unsettling Multicultural Erasures, the Multicultural Perspectives article, that says, given
all of the above, the pedagogical project of multicultural education could not be limited to centering the lives and histories of underrepresented groups or advancing liberal justice projects that privilege the cultivation of a respect for difference over critiques of power. And I thought that was really powerful just to read that and having that connection of place, power, and knowledge, and how to represent that in our classroom and as educators, even if we're not going to be a teacher, how we're going to educate people on what it means to be multiculturally educated in general. And that's what I feel like people are lacking, is multicultural education within ourselves.
Okay, so next up, we're going to listen to an interview that I had with my mom. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Taylor.
Okay, so I was wondering if you wanted to be on my podcast and if that would be all right.
Of course.
Okay, so I just have a couple questions to ask you about your life and just a little bit about your history. So can you tell me a little bit about your life growing up and anything you know about your parents? Because I know I have a lot of information on my parents.
After my parents got married, it was pretty close to the beginning of the Vietnam War, and my dad had a very low draft number. He was unlikely to be drafted. He was in college, though, and he decided to join the public health service instead of join the military, and he ended up working down in New Mexico. And my mom, of course, went with him, and that is where I was born. So we lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico, for about 2 years, and my dad actually worked on a reservation there in Dulce, New Mexico. And then after that, my dad was, I think you call it stationed. I'm not really sure. I'm not as familiar with the public health service, but he was, I guess, stationed up in Ferndale. So we lived up there for a couple more years, and that's where my brother, your Uncle Mark, was born, was in Bellingham.
Oh, small world.
Up in your neck of the woods, right?
Yeah, and then I'm pretty sure Papa told me a while ago that he was the first pharmacist to work on Lummi Island, one of the reservations in Bellingham, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't even know that myself.
Yeah.
I know that he went to the University of Washington, and that's where he ultimately got his degree in pharmacology, and went back to school to get his doctorate, actually just about 10 years ago. But then he moved on to open up the clinic in Monroe with, he had a couple of doctor friends and he had his pharmacist friend, and they opened up the clinic in Monroe about 40 years ago. It was the only little pharmacy / clinic in town across from the hospital, and
that's so cool.
The rest is history. Yeah. And meanwhile, my mom has been a banker, working at banks, you know, all over the Puget Sound, really.
Oh, so tell me about Grandma and Papa's courtship.
I know, that's interesting, isn't it? Because now that they're divorced, and I would imagine for a grandchild, it's hard to picture my mom and my dad as a married couple, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Well, apparently my dad used to pick my mom up and take her to school in the morning. And she tells me about how she would bring an extra pair of clothes and she would change her clothes in the car on the way to school.
Wow.
She would change her shoes, she would change her socks, and then she also said she would bring a needle and thread and she would hem up her skirt above her knees just like all of the other girls in school.
Oh my gosh.
And my dad thought that was really cute that she was doing that, and he really supported her and I think felt bad for her because she grew up in such a strict home.
Would you consider your upbringing culturally diverse?
Oh, it's interesting that you asked me that question. You know, the simple, quick answer is definitely no. However, I would consider my upbringing more culturally diverse than my parents, than that of my mom and dad.
Right, and I would say the same about me.
Yeah,
as well.
That's what I was just going to say, is that I would say it was less culturally diverse than yours and Tim's upbringing, though. I think it's interesting how as time goes on, I feel like, at least here in the Pacific Northwest, which is a very young region in comparison to the rest of the United States, I think that as the years have gone on, we definitely have more of a culturally diverse population. I remember this story my dad told me about when he and my uncle Mike were out riding their bikes one day in Chicago. So they grew up in Chicago, Illinois, in a very, very white neighborhood, in a very white part of town. So this one day, my dad and my uncle, they head on their bikes, go to the park, playing with a group of boys, and for the first time ever, my Uncle Mike, probably about age 7, for the first time ever, sees a person of color. And my dad can vividly recall that my Uncle Mike's first reaction was he walked straight up to that little boy and he licked his fingers and then he rubbed his fingers across that little boy's face.
Wow.
He thought the little boy had something on his face to give him that color. That's just so shocking to me to imagine that someone, you know, had never seen someone of color before like that.
Yeah, it's insane how you can be so isolated by one race that you don't believe that other people look differently than yourself.
And it's so telling too, because this is a child. This is a child who didn't mean any harm. He didn't mean to. He wasn't trying to be rude. Or, I mean, obviously, if you saw someone do that today, you would think that that's rude.
I would think, terrible.
What are you doing? And, but you know, innocent Uncle Mike, he didn't know what to make of this little boy that he just met.
Wow, that story was really interesting. Well, thank you for being a part of my family history podcast, Mom.
Well, you're welcome, Taylor. If you have any more questions, you know where to find me.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye. Next, you're going to be listening to an interview I had with my little brother, Tim. Okay, so I'm here with my brother. His name's Tim. He goes to Western Washington University, and he is currently a sophomore, 19 years old, white male. So, Tim, I know in your past you have... Oh, do you want to say hello?
Hello.
Okay. So, I know in your past... Here's a little disclaimer. He is very much dreading this conversation, but that's okay. So I know in your past, Tim, soccer has been your entire life. Is this correct?
Yes.
Okay, so, have you ever experienced, discrimination with, like, multicultural differences, like, on the soccer field? I mean, your team has been pretty diverse throughout soccer, always, right?
Can you repeat that?
Jeez. So, we're from Monroe, Washington, and Monroe, Washington is very, preferably white, except I feel like on your soccer team, it was much more diverse. Diverse, right? Yeah, hopefully he can. Okay. And then at one point, what was that league that you were in?
Mexican League.
It was called the Mexican League. Yeah. And
Sunday League.
And they only spoke Spanish. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
How did that make you feel? Because I'm pretty sure you were the only white boy on the team.
I liked it.
You liked it?
It's fun.
Do you understand what they were saying when they were yelling?
Parts.
Parts.
And I pretended that I knew what they're saying. Made them like me more.
It made them like you more.
Because I knew I didn't understand it.
A lot of them were your friends for a really long time, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really know what else to ask.
I don't know. You could ask about...
At Western, have you seen anything related to that league? I mean, pretty much the intramural soccer team is...
Not really.
Majority, like, white.
White, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting how different places... like the demographics fluctuate. He's looking at me like I'm crazy. Well, okay, here. How was it growing up with mom and dad?
Really nice.
Really nice?
Yeah, they're very helpful.
Helpful? Do you feel like you had, like, a good childhood?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah? Really happy life.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for talking with me, little brother.
Yeah, no problem.
I love you, Tim.
Love you, too.
This class has taught me more than I've ever imagined I would learn in 3 months, one quarter, however long it's been. I have never been so inspired by a class in my whole life, honestly. And it makes me proud to call myself an educator, not only in my future career, but in my life as well. I think we are all educators because we learn this information and want to influence and educate people with the inspiring things we learn. I want to take all of this knowledge that I've learned from these beautiful people, like Kristen French and Beverly Tatum, Sonia Nieto, Christine Slater, Linda Christensen, and just word vomit to every single person I know. I'm sure I've already talked my mom's head off about this class. And as an Aquarius girl and a Virgo rising, I am very into social justice, and I've been second guessing my career choice, and I want to fight for human rights and change the world. And I believe no matter what career or what path you have decided to go on, I believe everyone should be educated on these types of things, because this is the world we live in, and we need to be educated on the world we stand on. And after doing this podcast and talking through it, obviously I don't have a script, and you can tell by the way I talk. But the more I talk through, the more I realize how far we have come as a society, and how prevalent multicultural education is, and how much our education on people of color and different cultures and art and religion have increase tremendously. I know what I've seen, like I've said before, in Bellingham Elementary Schools is way more than I ever saw when I was a 8-year-old kid. Everything I learned in this class, and for all of my experiences I've experienced in the different places I've traveled to and the different people I've met along the way in college and in life, I couldn't be more grateful. And speaking of grateful, I will forever use the gratitude piece that we did every day in class. In life, not even in my classroom, well, of course in my classroom, but in life every single day, because I believe this just made me a more motivated and happier person. Thinking of something that made me happy and something I was grateful for first thing in the morning, I think that's very beautiful. I just want to say thank you so much, Kristen, for allowing me to dive deeper into myself and my family. I thought this project was truly inspiring and beautiful, and I hope you like my podcast. It's kind of rough, but also I hope you forever do this project in the future. I'm Taylor Scadden, and this is the end of my family history podcast. Thank you for listening, and good night.